Okay. All right. So let me just start with a question that I think is pretty obvious and requires an explanation. That's the mitzvah beis and mitzvah seh of the Rambam. Yeah. So the Rambam in mitzvah seh says like this. He says, Asay Beis, who first has a say Aleph, which is Bahamonas Holokus, Rushanaman Chesham Ila Vesibor, who Paul Holon Sahanim Sahim. Okay. Do we have enough to pass the translation, no?
7
missiles? 7 missiles.
Yeah.
That's
the
one.
So you have
here. All right. You don't need it. Don't. There's one right here. Okay. No. Okay. So that's the Yisod HaRishon. It's the Yisod HaRishon like the Rambam has in the Yad. Then there's Mitzvah Beis. What's Mitzvah Beis? So the Rambam says, He Yatzivui Shetzivonu Ba'amonas HaYichud. Who shenamen shapoel hametzius v'sibasa harishona echad. In other words, the source of all existence is one. V'hu amar yisalei shma yisrael adashem alkein hashem echad. Okay. So, yeah. Uberov hamidrashos timtsoim omrim Al menas li yached es shemi. That's what Rambam says. Li yached es shemi. Al menas li yachdeni. V'rabim ka'ela. That's kapachos. Okay. Yeah. Al menas li yachdeni. Okay. So the question I mean is a question of the semantics of the Lashon of Chazal. Because they say, well, liyached eshemi. What does it mean, liyached eshemi? Liyachdeni? I mean, man is miyached HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, man is can only, with the small amount of knowledge that he has, he can gain some insight and some correct knowledge insofar as man is concerned about God. But what does it mean? Liyachdeni, the language is a strange language. Liyachdeni. I mean, as if it's taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an object. Liyachdeni. Liyached Hashemi. What does that mean? I mean, the language is a strange language. Then he says like this. Rotsim bozea maimar. He says, they intend with this maimar, Anachnu omnam hotziyonu me'avdus, va'oseimonu masha osam minachasadim va'tovos, Al tenai ha'amunas ha'yichud, that everything was done on the condition that we should accept the yichud Hashem. Ki anachnu mechuyavim b'zeh. We're obligated in this. V'har b'ma sheyomru mitzvah yichud. V'yikru gam ke. Okay, v'har b'ma sheyomru mitzvah yichud. Okay, it says many times, it says it's definitely mitzvah yichud. So you see, that's the Rambam. It's all the meaning of mitzvahs. The Yikru Gam Kain Zos HaMitzvah, he says, they call this mitzvah also Malchus Shemayim. Okay. Kabbalah Sa Malchus Shemayim. Kihem Omrim, Kide Lekabel Olav Malchus Shemayim. Ratzaloma. What does it mean, Malchus Shemayim? Ha-ha-ha-do'a b'yichud v'hamanasa. Okay. So here's another problem. I mean, I understand Kabbalah Sa Malchus Shemayim, but why is that tied to Yichud Hashem? Malchus Shemayim should either be tied to the first mitzvah, which is Amonas Olakus. Okay, so I accept upon myself the idea of God. So that's a Amonas HaYichud, that's the first mitzvah. Or, so I say that's Malchus Shemayim. Or Shetzivonu Lahamin in the Dalit, he says Shetzivonu Lahamin Yirasa Yisalu Lifached Mimenu. Okay, so that's Yiras Hashem. Fached Mimenu. So that's probably the most appropriate place for Malchus Shemayim. Yiras Hashem, to be nizer in his gzeros, and to keep all his mitzvahs. That's what is commonly thought of as Malchus Shemayim. Okay, but you see, the Rambam says no. The Rambam says Malchus Shemayim is really in Yichud Hashem, in the second mitzvah. Okay. Yeah. So apparently, the idea of Malchus with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the same idea as Malchus with regard to an ordinary melech, the mashal that we use, an ordinary melech. Because in the situation of an ordinary melech, when we refer to his malchus, we refer to his kingship. His kingship is his rulership. Okay, the fact that what he says is the law of the land, and people abide by the law. That's his kingship. If that were the case, then the mitzvah of Malchus Shemayim would not be in would have nothing to do with Beis. It would be appropriately in mitzvah Dalet. But why is it in mitzvah Beis? Why is it in mitzvah Beis? You see, what does it mean liyached es shemi? The question is, what does it mean liyached es shemi? So liyached es shemi, liyachdeni. What it means is that man is not capable of having knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's beyond his grasp. The positive knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not possible for man. See, man can know of God's existence, but to know of God in any direct manner is impossible. That was one of that was one of the two requests of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not possible. So he did see something, he was shown something that nobody saw before or after, with regard to a difference in the Das Elokim, in the Chachmas Hashem. That's different than other Chachmas. That he was shown. That's what Rambam explains. But that was the only thing that he could attain. So insofar as Yedias Hashem is concerned, it's not possible. That's why it says liyached es shemi. Shemi, the Shem Hashem, means the idea of God. That a person should refine his idea of the Borei Olam, and he should, until it reaches the level of the absence of all plurality. You see, the absence of all plurality. So that's why it says liyached es shemi, liyachdeni, because it means in the idea in the human mind. You see, liyachdeni means insofar as, because yediyas Hashem is not possible, so we only can have a yediyah insofar as our mind is capable of perception. So liyached es shemi means to refine the idea that we have. You see, till it reaches a level that it's completely pure, that it's devoid of any kind of plurality. You see, if you understand me, so that's why they use the Lashon liyachdeni, because liyachdeni is obviously means it has an object. But what is the object? The object is the idea that man is capable of, which is a demonstration that man is not capable of Yedias Hashem per se. That's why that is chosen. The Yachdeni is really it is the perfect choice of words, because it shows you that man cannot have any knowledge of God, and it shows you we can only have knowledge in terms of the idea, the correct idea which he is capable of achieving insofar as he's a human, and that idea should be refined, you see. So the Yachdeni, the concept of the Yachdeni, serves two purposes. It shows you what man is not capable of knowing, you see, which is extremely, extremely important. And it shows you that what he is capable of knowing should be refined to the point where it reaches a certain level of yediyah, which is the absence of all plurality. Okay? That's why the Yachdeni is very, very precise. Okay, yes.
How does it show what he's not capable of knowing?
Because it can't Since it says liachdeini, and it has a direct object, so it's obviously not God. That's insane. So it doesn't make any sense. So therefore, you're thrown into realizing that it's referring to an idea, which means that that's all you're capable of, insofar as your mind is concerned. You see, liachdeini es shemi. So that's why that expression was chosen, precisely because in that expression, you see, if it would say to understand Yichud Hashem, so then someone might make a mistake and they might think that they can really attain true knowledge of God. You see, so but liachdeini, which is liached es shemi, shows you that that's not possible, and it means an act which has an object. What is the object? The object is the human mind, the knowledge of the human mind. It should be miyached, the idea. You should pursue knowledge so that the idea becomes refined. You see. So that's why it's the perfect word. Liachdeini liached es shemi. Of course, liachdeini is liached es shemi. So as I mentioned, liached es shemi, liachdeini, the same thing. So liachdeini is obviously understood as shemi, because it can't mean anything else. So by way of inference, you see, Chazal chose a term which is the perfect word to express the idea. Okay, that's why it says that's the liachdeini. But why is now what is so this mitzvah of liachdeini? So the Rambam says this is the mitzvah of Kabbalah's own Malchus Shemayim. Malchus. So what does Malchus Shemayim mean? So Malchus Shemayim over here, you see, has a strange meaning. The Malchus. Why? Because Yichud Hashem has nothing to do with the creation. Yichud Hashem is without the creation. What does Chazal say? That what existed before the creation, only the Shem Hashem. What it means is that there was no change in the Borei Olam before the creation and after the creation. That's the Yesod Nados, no change. So since that's the case, you see, if Yichud means Malchius, so you see the analogy is not an exact one. Why? Because it means that the Malchus Hashem, which exists without any Malucha, without a universe, correct? Because Yichud Hashem, see what I'm saying? Yichud Hashem is the mitzvah. Anochi Hashem Lekecha is a basic mitzvah, which means that a person must know that the entire universe doesn't have essential existence, but its existence derives from a primary source, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a basic idea. Okay? But liachdeini is further. Liachdeini means to pursue the idea and further and to gain ultimate knowledge insofar as possible for man. That's liachdeini. Yeah, of course, the second mitzvah is built on the first mitzvah. It's not separate. It's built on the first mitzvah. But the second mitzvah is to, and that's what Klal Yisrael is mechuyev to do, not simply, just simply the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists is not enough. So he has to pursue and is with all the energy he has, all his abilities, to gain the most clear idea of the most abstract and purified idea in terms of Yedias Hashem. That's the second mitzvah, Yedias Hashem. But since that's the case, so an interesting thing emerges, that the Malchus is not to be considered analogous to the Mashal of Malchus, because the Mashal of Malchus of a kingship, you see, is a king with the domain over which he reigns. And over here we're saying Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem is outside the creation. The creation does not have anything to do with Yichud Hashem. You see. So the Malchus that we're talking about, the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a different kind of Malchus. I mean, just from this mitzvah, you can see that. You see, it's interesting. The one who wrote the Adon Olam really stated that most clearly. Adon Olam Hashem Malach, the Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Okay, and the choice of words, by the way, is that means that he's a Melach. He's a Melach without a Melucha. So therefore, by the way, Beterem is a very exact choice of words, because Beterem means, you see, Lifne, there's a difference between Lifne and between Terem. What's the difference between Lifne and Terem? See, Lifne makes recourse to a framework, an extraneous frame, Lifne. It means there's a frame of time, and there's a before, and there's an after. It's like a line where you have a line, and then you have points on the line. So that's Lifne. Lifne presupposes a framework. But Beterem doesn't. See, Beterem, the only framework of Terem is the framework of the other thing. See, what did Yitzchak Avinu said to Yaakov? He said, Terem Tova Vavarachayo. A Terem Tava, what does it mean? It means that your coming here was not at the same time as his. His, when he was here, yours, you were absent. It means they're not coexistent. And when the first thing existed, the second thing did not exist. So the framework in Terem, the framework is only the two elements. See, but Terem. Beterem means the framework is restricted to the two elements. Lifne presupposes an extraneous framework. It's an extraneous time frame, and Lifne means this is where you place one, this is where you identify one thing on the frame, then you identify a second thing on the frame, you see. Lifne is inappropriate, because there's no framework outside of HaKadosh Baruch. So that's why it's Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra. The one who wrote that, Donald Lom, was a very deep... A very deep philosopher. So, and then he says, "Va'acharei kechlos hakol levado yimloch nora." Again, he held that the universe will not exist forever, eternally. That's the Rambam held differently, but he held away. He said, "Va'acharei kechlos hakol levado yimloch." He will again be a melech. So it means to say that he'll be a melech. He was a melech. He will be a melech. He's always a melech. So his malchus is not tied at all to any malocha. That's really the idea. See, that's really the concept. That's really the concept. So what does it mean? So malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu means not his kingship, you see, but his kingness. His kingness. That's what it means. You see, that's really what the... What the idea of Malchus? The idea of Malchus is Malchus, and it's important to know because Mispalim Roshani, you have to have the correct idea. So when we say Malchus, we don't mean Malchus, his kingship. Kingship is in the mashal of a bus or a dam would apply, but we don't take the mashal exactly. You only take out an element of the mashal. But over here, it means not his kingship, but his kingness. You see, it means. Why, so to speak, the king is the king in the marshal. It means he's unique. He's unique. It's not a reference to his sovereignty. It's not a reference to his sovereignty. It's a reference to the fact that in that marshal, the king, if he's a true king, so why does he deserve to be a king? Because he has something unique about him, you see. His kingness. So it should be clear that when we say Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't mean his kingship. That would be an erroneous idea. It doesn't mean his kingship. It means his kingness. You see, that's the idea of Malchus. Okay. Interesting is, you see, the Mechilta. The Mechilta supports this, expresses the same idea. It says, the Ramban quotes from Amr b'Mechilta, Lo yiyah l'cho lehim acherem al panai. Ramban quotes it. Loma Nema, why does it say that? Lefishu Omer Anochet Hashem Alekecho. So in other words, Loma, he's saying this, Lo Yeh L'cholim HaChem HaPanai, Loma Nema. In other words, when the Chilta is saying is, it says in Ocher Hashem Alekecha, why does it have to say Lo Yilucholim Echeim Apana? It sounds like a repetition. So it could have just said one or the other, or it should have said Lo Yilucholim Echeim Apana, and you don't need the Anochi. The Anochi in the Lo Yia is repetitious. Redundant. So he says, Moshe l'melech shenichnas l'mdina. So Moshe l'melech came into his medina, Amr lo avadav, gizor lohem gzeros. So the avadim said to the melech, make gzeros, rules, laws for us. Amr lohem, lav kishe yakablu malchusi egzor aleihem gzeros. Is it not when they'll accept my malchus, I'll make them gzeros? She'im malchusi einam mekablim gzerusi gzerosai heyach mekaimim. You see, so the Melech said, it's only if they accept me as a king, then they recognize my uniqueness, my worthiness of being a king. Then they'll keep the gzeres. He says, "Kach amar makom Yisrael, anochi Hashem lekecha liyilcha limacherem al panai. Anihu shekibaltem aleichem malchusi b'mitzrayim. You accepted my malchus. Amarein. Did you?" They said yes. Kishem shekibalta malchusi kabluk zerosai lo yilacha lemaharam. So you see, the Mechilta states clearly that kabbalas on malchus, that malchus with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not as kingship. It's not accepting upon yourself the doing of the mitzvahs. You see, that's not correct. If per se, what is kabbalas on malchus shamayim? I'm a kabbal all the mitzvahs. That's not kabbalas on malchus shamayim. It's not Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. That's Kabbalah's Gzeros. But there must be something before that precedes that, the Kabbalah Samitzvahs. And if you don't have that, so then there's no Kabbalah Samitzvahs. You see? What is that? That's the Kabbalah of the Yediyah of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Hamonas HaYichud. You see, Hamonas HaYichud Hashem means the Yediyah Hashem. Without the Yediyas Hashem, there's no Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim is not Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. It's not Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. It is the basis of the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. It's an interesting thing. It's a totally different thing than at first sight a person would think. First sight a person would think, what is Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim? Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. No, that's not Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim is Yediyas Hashem in the correct manner. If a person has the Yediyas Hashem in the correct manner, then he sees the Melech. Then he understands, his mind sees the Melech. So he understands the Melech. That's Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim. It's an interesting thing. It's a completely different idea. Completely different idea than intuitively a person would get from just hearing the idea of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Yes.
But it seemed the Mechilta ties it to the first mitzvah.
Yeah. The reason is, and I believe the Rambam mentioned somewhere else, is because the second mitzvah is just a furtherance. That's a good point. You're right. The second mitzvah is just a furtherance of the first mitzvah. So the Mechilta ties it to the first mitzvah because the Mechilta is not really categorizing the mitzvahs. But anochi, it means hamanas ayichur is included in anochi, because otherwise it lacks an anochi. See, the hamanas ayichur is not a separate thing. It goes back into the anochi. You understand? It's a separate mitzvah in terms of performance, in terms of what an individual has to do. You see, it's striving. But it's not something new. It goes back into the Anochi. It's the same. You understand what I mean? So that's why the Mechilta puts it by Anochi. Because the Mechilta is not talking in categorization of mitzvahs. It's talking ideationally. Ideationally, everything goes into Anochi. You understand? The person is Mechilta and is supposed to pursue. What does Anochi mean? Hamayichur is. Hamanos Ayichur is Anochi. That's the concept. See, that's the concept. And that's why you see in the Tfilis, in the Tefillah of Meloch, has the same idea. Meloch al kol olam kula b'chledecha, v'inosei al kol ha'oretz b'yikorecha, b'kvodecha and b'yikorecha. It means that when a person has the correct idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then his reaction is he senses an awe of kavod Hashem. You see, that's what it means. Meloch HaKol Olam Bichvodecha. It means not that it's not a malchus like an ordinary melech, a bus of a dome that's imposed on his subjects. But no, Bichvodecha means through the recognition. Harenos Kvodecha, through Dias Hashem. And Bichorecha, you see. Vahofa Bahadar Gaon Uzecha. What is Hadar Gaon Uzecha mean? What is Uzecha? The word Uzecha means, you see, it means strength, tokef, you see. What does it mean, tokef? It means, like, Havalot Hashem kavod v'oz. You see, the Bakshuot Hashem v'uzo. Ad Hashem uzi umo uzi. You see, oz means the recognition of tokfo. The Tirgum says, Hashem uzi tukfosi, means tokef. What does it mean that a person recognizes tokef Hashem? Tokef Hashem means that if a person has yedias Hashem, so he sees the presence of Hashem in everything, and that how everything that exists only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's tokfo. Uzo emerges. That's why the Navi always uses the word oz is in with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that if a person studies the universe incorrectly, so then he attributes existence simply to the causes that he sees on the surface. But if he studies it correctly, he realizes that behind that, in every aspect, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the influence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without his influence, so to speak, the word is of course a borrowed term, like the Rambam says, but without his constant influence, nothing exists. That's Uzo. And the same thing is true with regard to the life of man, with regard to the social order. So that's what the tefillah is. Meloch al kol olam bechvodecha, v'inoseh al kol olam bikarecha, v'hofa, means to make a fear meha'aparon, to make appear, b'hadar ga'on uzecha, that because the oz is accompanied by a hodor and a gaon and a splendor, that when a person has yedias Hashem, this is what it reflects, and this is the affect that it produces in the human being when his mind perceives it. You see, v'alfan b'dargon zechal kol yoshvei seivel atzecha. That's the tefillah, beautiful tefillah, and then that's why it says v'yeda kol pol ki ata fi'alto. The yovin kol yotzer ki ata yitzarto. It means the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the borei olam. The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the borei olam, not just that's v'yeda kol pol ki ata fi'alto. V'yovin kol yotzer ki ata yitzarto. What does it mean? It means not simply that his existence is not possible without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the yotzer, is the borei. And the borei is even more. You see, borei. I'll get back to that in a minute. Why? Our hamana is a hamanas haborei yesh me'ayin ma'ono leke kedem. You see, ma'ono leke kedem kadmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's really what the anshikin are saying, that they should have a idea not just of the fact that the individual's existence is not possible without a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Yotzer Kol. That's even a further idea. I'll explain to that what exactly that means. But that's what the Tefillah is saying. The Yomar Kol Hashem Hashem B'Apol Ad Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech Malchius Melech, recognition of Yedias Hashem as a Melech. A Melech in a different sense, not in the sense of a reign and a kingship, but a melech in terms of his kingness, you say. Malchusa b'kol mashal. So, and there's nothing, no area that's devoid of this expression of his malchus. You see, no area that exists on its own without his initiation, the initiation of the melech, melech malchay melechim. That's really the tefillah. That's the tefillah. It's a unique tefillah, and it's an important issue of the correct idea. Let me just elaborate a little more. You see, in Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you see, and then what do you say? Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Avoy. So why does Malchuso, you see from Kriya Shema, an endorsement again of the same fundamental principle? Because that's exactly what the Rambam is saying. Because, you see, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Yichud Hashem. And what do we follow it with? We follow it with Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vayeh. The Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His Malchus emerges from the Yediyas HaYichud. You see, Yediyas Yichudo is the source of Malchus. That's why the Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus follows right after, that's exactly what the Rambam is saying. Nobody argues him. It's a Mesorah from Yaakov Avinu. Begins Yaakov Avinu, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah goes back to Yaakov Avinu, like the Rambam says. But that's the idea, that the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yichudo. So what is the meaning of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Avoy? I mean, the idea, what does it mean? Of course, it means that it means is, that's what the Rama mentions the Mesorah. Mesorah b'yadenu, that Yaakov Avinu, before his Petira, that he gathered around his banim shiftekah, and he says, Shema yesh bochem echot she'eno imi bahamana sayichot. So, anu kulam v'amu shmai shal shema k'ne shema chad. So, Omar, baruch shem from chosom avad. So, what did he do? So in other words, they mentioned the idea of Yichud Hashem. See, that's what they mentioned. So he said, so Yaakov Avinu added, this Yichud Hashem is the source of the Malchus Hashem. You see, the source of Malchus Hashem. That, in other words, and that's why he said Baruch. What Baruch Shem. Shem means the idea. Shem Kvod Malchus, of course, because his Malchus emerges from a kavod, because when man understands it, he's in awe, and he's like, and his reaction is reaction of kavod. So he said, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Avoyed, because Yaakov Avinu was concerned, his job was to establish the Shiftei Kah in Klal Yisrael, which is the result of the Hamanas HaYichud, in that the Kol Bnei Basar should recognize the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why he added Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Avoyed. His Malchus, which is the Yichud, which is Yichudo, is Baruch. By the way, means so I say Baruch HaTorah Hashem. It means Baruch means well being. That's what Baruch means. So, well-being, you say, that's why I said, Baruch Atav Vayecha, Baruch Atav Vesezecha. Baruch means well-being. What does it say, Baruch Atav Hashem? Baruch Atav Hashem means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence of all well-being, the essence and the source of all well-being. So it means, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Avoyed, it means that the well-being, well-being of man stems from the Kavod Malchuso, the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech. You see, so that has practical results, because that's really the well-being of the entire world, of mankind. So Yaakov Avinu was, at the moment before his Petira, he was concerned that he might not have accomplished what he was supposed to in terms of establishing the Shiftei Kah, which is the source You see, of all which is shiftekar in terms of the human life, is the source of all bracha, if it's done properly. So that's why he said baruch shem kavod malchus olam vayed. But the malchus is the malchus in the hamonase. It's a malchus that emerges from hamonase yichud. His gezeros, you see, are a manifestation and a result of his malchus. In an ordinary melech, the kingship and the king, that's why that the king is a relative term. So a king and his subjects. He's a subject of the king and is a king over his subjects. So in kingship, in an ordinary, in ordinary kingdom, ordinary kingship, so it's a relative term. In Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's an absolute term. Yes, there is a Malchus that emerges in terms of that we keep his gzeros, which is an expression of the Malchus. But that's not essential. You see, that's not essential. The only thing that's essential, you see, is the absolute idea of Melech, the absolute idea of Melech. So our system of the relative, which is the gzeros, emerges from the absolute idea of Melech. That's really that's the concept of the Malchus. It's a different it's a different idea than his kingship. It means his kingness. His kingness. That's what the Mechilta says. Okay. But I want to just add one thing that in the Kedusha, you say. In Kedusha you say two things really. And I want to just while we're on the while we're in the area, I just wanted to give an idea of what it means. And Kedusha consists of two things, one from Yeshayahu and one from Yechezkel. The first part of Kedusha is, you see, and by the way, what does it mean for Fanav Achayas HaKadosh and Meshosav Sholem Zelazah? What is the importance of mentioning the Malachim in the Kedusha? Why do we mention in the Berchas Yotzer? Why do we mention the Malachim? The reason is not because they say things that the Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need the Shevach. Halachim are created beings. They're created in Yom Sheni, I believe the Ramban says. So a created being can't, his praise is worthless. It's empty, worthless. And they're not Masiga HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what is the importance of telling us about the Malachim? The importance is because the malachim are intelligences, and what the navi and the anshe knesset gedolah and the neviim when they're masakin the tefillah, what the idea what they want that they wanted to teach us is that if a being is a pure intelligence, that's his natural state is shrachosh, constant shrachosh amaka. That's the natural state of a pure intelligence. That's why that's in Birkas Yosef. That's the idea. That's the concept. Otherwise, I have to talk about the Malachim. Malachim do their thing. What does that have to do with us? Their Shevach is not real Shevach either. It's Shevach on their level. But it means that they are higher than us, and they are pure intelligences, and that's why they're constantly engaged in Shlach HaShemakom. What is the Shlach HaShemakom that they mention? So two things. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's one thing, Kedusha. And the second thing is Baruch Kvodot Hashem Memkama. Meshor Sof Sholem Zelaze Ayei Mekom Kvodo. And then they say Baruch Kvodot Hashem Memkama. So what are these two elements? The two elements, just to understand them in a basic way. You know what I mean? You know, you can't get sure in metaphysics, but basic understanding, you have to have basic understanding of what you're saying. What you're saying by kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is, kadosh means separated and removed, you see. So, separated and removed means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removed in his existence from anything in the creation. So that's why in the Tirgum, it says, kadosh b'shmei miromo ilo b'shechintei. He's removed from all the malachim, you see, that exist in the higher realm. Kaddish al-Aravad Givurte. He's different and removed from anything of his creation in the universe. And Kaddish La'olam Olmei Olmaya. And Kaddish La'olam Olmei Olmaya, what it means is that his eternity is completely different. It's a different kind of eternity. See, Kaddish La'olam Olmei Olmaya. He's different in his eternity because his eternity is because of his existence. So it means he's removed in every manner. That's really the first element, the Kadosh Kadosh. That's from Yeshayo. But Baruch Hashem Mekomo is one step more. You see, Mishar Sav Sholem Zelz Ayem Mekom Kvodo. What does it mean, Ayem Mekom Kvodo? It means like this. It means that it's a mashal, of course. Makom is a mashal. Makom means... It means that his essence is unidentifiable in any framework. You see, according to the Aristotelian idea of God, so you couldn't say that. You could say kadosh, kadosh. You could say that God is different and he's removed, and he's the source of all existence, and his existence is qualitatively differentiated. But you couldn't say bar kadosh emim kama, because according to Aristotle, the natural law leads directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, the natural law leads directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything he does is only in accordance with the natural law. You see, but we say no. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. And the Borei Olam means that he is behind the natural law, but he doesn't act only in accordance with the natural law. The way he acts is unknowable and unidentifiable, you see. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if a person believes in God, and he believes he's the source of, like Einstein would say, he's the source of all existence, and he's different, he's removed, and... And every, all the negative attributes, the proper negative attributes, you see. So he'll say kadosh, kadosh, you see. But he could still maintain that God only produces, so to speak, the natural law, only acts in accordance with the natural law. So the natural law, through the natural law, you could, so to speak, trace God. I don't mean you could go back, trace him, you go, because human knowledge is very limited. But you could start on the path. You could start on the path, you see. So then you can't say, I am makom kvodo. The makom is, so to speak, implicit in the framework, you see. But we say that's not true. And that's the concept of the Borei Olam, the Yotzer Kol. We say, yeah, the natural law emerges from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But is the natural law the only way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are we into how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works to some extent, you see? So the answer is no. The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chochmah is beyond the natural law. The natural law is an expression, but he is beyond the natural law. And that's the concept of the Borei Olam, you see. He's not simply, in Aristotelian terms, an efficient cause of the universe. He is the designer of the universe. He is the source of everything that we see, and l'sfunoso ein cheker, we could never trace everything in the universe back to a natural law, you see. That's a very significant idea. You could not trace everything back to a natural law, because you will have to encounter things that are Chochmas Hashem, that are beyond the natural law. You see, that's Ayem Mishasav Sholem Zelza Ayem Mekom Kvodo, because the Malachim are constantly searching. They exist in a process of knowledge. So they show Ayem Mekom Kvodo. But Lumosa Mishav Bruch Hashem Mekom, from his Makom, which we have no way of knowing. He's beyond, completely beyond. So the second statement in the Kedusha of the Malachim is the idea. That's the idea, Ma'ono Lekei Kedem. the idea of Kadmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those two ideas are the together, both of those ideas. One doesn't cancel out the other, but it's not the Yotze, the Borei Olam, and the first condition, they both exist, I mean, simultaneously. It's just that this is a further idea of Kedusha. Further idea of Kedusha. Baruch Kved Hashem and Kamal. And both ideas of the Yisori Yadas. The Yisori Yadas, basically. So that's really the Birkas Yatsa. Okay. That's exactly it. Humakama Shalom Makama. Yes, correct. That's right. But it means, that's absolutely right. But Makama Shalom means more than just the source of all existence, that nothing could exist without him. You see? It means he, in his makom, which is far removed, untraceable, and all we see is a surface reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our ability to perceive in some level the chokhmah of the natural law, you see, that we were given the ability to perceive. But that is not the realm, the complete realm of his chokhmah is beyond, different kind of chokhmah. And therefore he cannot be placed in any kind of a framework or identified. That's the mashal of Nekama. Ayei Mekam Fadol. Baruch Kved Hashem Mim Kama. Beyond. We have no way of knowing. That's the Hamonas Ayichud, Hamonas Hashem of Yadas. Very, very, very unique idea. Yes?
Makes sense why Yimlo follows those two up, follows up Kadosh Kadosh and then Rosh Kavod, because that follows with what you were saying before, that it exists without...
Eternally. Yeah. Different kind of eternity. Different kind of, yes, that's correct, yeah. That once you say that, then Yimloch is, that is, Yimloch Hashem L'Olam is insofar as his essence is a melech. Doesn't mean his kingship, it means his kingness, you see. And that is unique and that's different, and his eternity is of a different kind of eternity, not perceptible by the human being. It's just that the term eternity is the best term that a man can use, a human being can use to approximate in his mind to be as close as possible to that idea. So that's the Ram explains about the idea of homonyms. Homonyms mean, because when you read the Ram says homonyms, you know, so it's not the right word, so what value does that? No, the value of a homonym, it means that this is as close as a human being. It's the best, it's the closest word that a human being can use insofar as the real idea is concerned. So it can't be the real, it's not the real idea, the real idea is not possible for man. But man can, on his level, and his tzelem elokim, he can be either far away or close. Close insofar as relative to his ability. Okay, I just want to mention one thing, which a separate thing, but I think it's an important thing because we're entering Aseret Yemei Teshuva, and Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So it's important, I mean, to involve ourselves in Teshuva every day, and I just want to mention something which I think is a very great significance. And Aseret Yemei Teshuva is a person should always do Teshuva. But Aseret Yemei Teshuva is the Teshuva is raised to a special level, like the Rambam says. On those days, Teshuva has a special significance, and it's the time really that a person should engage in Teshuva. It has a chiyuv, a greater chiyuv, to engage krobi as a korah. A person has a greater chiyuv atshuva in this time. Greater chiyuv atshuva. A person of balavera says chiyuv atshuva is at the height. At this time, so from the Alpidin, from the halachic system. So there's one thing I want to mention, and I think it's something that is extremely important. And excuse me.
That the himata when
it's down. Yeah, it means during this time, right? So the okay. So it means because of the kedusha of the Yom Tov. So Yom Tov create the himata. It's the Yom Tov and Kriyat Matzah, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Those, the Kedusha Sayom affects a human. If he keeps the Kedusha Sayom properly, so it affects him. So that's the Zman of the Matzah. Okay. So now.
Hazal waited the other time, or?
What's the other time?
Days in between.
That's what Chazal's saying. That's what it's referring to. Elo Asayyam. Don't Chazal say Elo Asayyam, Hashem Barash, and Yom Kippur? That's what Chazal's saying. That's what it is. No, but it's between those two. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are connected. Rosh Hashanah is not unrelated. Rosh Hashanah, you see, you say Malchus is a. Malchus is also a theme of Yom Kippur. The Rav said many times. The Chaim said Malchus is a theme of Yom Kippur, just like it is in Rosh Hashanah. But the Kaparas Hayom is the essence of the Kedushas Hayom. But the Malchus didn't vanish. The Malchus is still a king. Okay. So what? But that's what Ram says in those days. Minel Hayom from Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Okay. But what I want to mention is something. So the Ram says over here, the Ram says in paragraph E that Abor Vesem Dvar Ma'akfinas Hatshuva. And he says, Me'en Chamish Dvar Ma'noelim Dake Hatshuva, Befnei Hoseim. So the Ram says, one of them is Noelim Dake Hatshuva. Close the doors for Tshuva is Hasone Es HaTochachos. Sharei Lo Hiniach Lo Derech Tshuva. Because he hates Tochacha. It's a person that can't take rebuke. It bothers him. So rebuke should really be something that a person should be happy to receive. Because, I mean, good rebuke. Because it means you point out something, some weakness. And since the person knows that if he's in an imperfected state, insofar as he's imperfected, he's suffering. So he should be very happy that he's notified, he's made aware of the imperfections. So he can improve himself. So that should be, he should look forward to. Like the Rambam says in the end of his sefer, if somebody finds something wrong, he shouldn't think that I'll be unhappy if he tells me. I'll take him around and I'll hug him and I'll kiss him because he taught me an idea. So the Rambam said that's the proper idea. That's the proper way a person should feel. That if somebody gives tochacha, he should be very thankful because whoever gives him a tochacha is improving him. So the Rambam says that Sony es tochacha is no old darche tshuva. So he says. So the Rambam says, "Lefikach tzarich lahamid b'chol kol v'chol meYisrael chacham gadol v'zaken v'reish mayim and ura v'ov lehem sheyeh mochiach l'rab machzir metshuva." Okay, so apparently the Rambam says, so that's why you have to have. I don't know. The problem was he couldn't assign anybody to that position. The qualifications are too high. Chacham gadol v'zaken, that is v'reish mayim and ura v. Okay. But we don't have the perfect situation. But nevertheless, I feel that in the yeshiva, I mean, that there is a certain responsibility that falls on the Rosh Yeshiva. And you might say that in our door, in our situation, in the yeshiva situation, that responsibility of Tochacha falls on the Rosh Yeshiva. So I feel at this time that I want to mention something which I think is a serious matter that, like I said, the Chi of Tshuva in this time is greater than Ordinary. Ordinary is very great too, but now it's even greater. So this is man when a person should especially be Chos B'Tshuva, be Mechapes Masov. And there's something which I feel I must speak about. And that's what the Rambam says in the end of the same parak. He says that I'm sorry, not the very end in Halacha Dalet. He mentions things Chamisha Dvarim Ha'ososon Ein Cheskasa Loshav Mehen. These things a person does, he says, it's very difficult to do tshuva because the assumption is he's not going to be his status quo. The pull of the status quo is very strong over there. Hard to make the break. And one of those things he mentions is the last one is amaskabe duklon chavero, a person that brags and his bragging is because of the fact that he's relatively superior. He's superior to his chaver. So that's what the Rambam says. It says. Nobody's standing there. He didn't receive any boshes, and he didn't do an act of boshes. So even if he does it indirectly, by implication, you see, by implication, through implication, just sets up the other fellow's, whatever it might be, and his, whether it's perfection or whether it's an idea, whatever it might be. So that's miskabe beklon chavera. So that's very hard to break the status quo, because the person feels, what did I do? I wasn't, if you invite somebody, so you feel guilty. There are certain things that a person does that the guilt complex comes in and it kicks in and it makes him aware. So the chomer haver is never mentioned by is never measured. I mean, by the how strong the guilt complex is. The institution of guilt is something which exists in the human mind. But you can feel more guilty about something which is not as bad, and you feel less guilty about something which is 10 times worse. So it's not a measuring rod as to the severity of the chait. But sometimes you're fortunate, and the psychological mechanism kicks in and makes you aware. Sometimes it doesn't. Ram says, in this case, it doesn't. Even though it's an avera chamura, because his essence is miskabe b'kon chaver, his enlechagam abba. So what I want to point out is, in the yeshiva, in our yeshiva, I mean, we have a problem. The problem is that when a person gains knowledge, so his ego immediately is inflated, and he feels a certain kind of superiority over others. And the tendency is, because of that that initial boost, you see, that his ego gains, so it leads him b'derech ra, and it caters to yitzra hara. And instead of the gain of knowledge really being something that he appreciates and subordinates himself to and recognizes as the most valuable thing in his life, before he can do that, before he does that, the immediate emotional reaction kicks in and makes him and caters to his need for greatness and for acceptance and for superiority. And what happens is that he engages in activities which are simply tzasietzar or maisietzar, you see. And if a person does that, I mean, basically, there is no value in the chachma, because then all the chachma becomes subordinated to one goal, and that is the goal that basically is the whole goal of every Rasha, basically, which is to demonstrate his own superiority, except now we'll switch it to the intellectual sphere, or to the sphere of Torah. So a person who does that is thwarting every benefit that Torah offers. And while it's a tremendous Yetzer Hara, there's no question about it, because that's probably the greatest Yetzer Hara in man. So it's a very powerful force. But never, and it's something which, like the Rambam says, the way it's expressed is expressed in a way where the guilt doesn't kick in. See, the guilty conscience doesn't kick in. So it's an avera that is very hard to fight, because it feels very good. It's very satisfying, because it's instinctually satisfying. It's satisfying as yetzer hara, and it's something which, on the other hand, many times a person satisfies yetzer hara, so the guilt gets him. But over here, you don't have that. The mechanism doesn't kick in. So if a person is unaware and doesn't use his chachma to detect it, then he could fall into that trap. And he falls into that trap, so then he's in serious trouble in terms of his perfection. In serious trouble. And, you know, Chazal say, Lama Lakantar, and the Miskabi B'Gon Chaver is basically Yom Chorim Abbas, so everything is worthless. So all the chachma, that's the Atzasi Yetzirah. That a person gains chachma, but then the Yetzirah is always functioning, always working. And on the contrary, this can be used as a tool of Yetzirah, and can ultimately destroy the individual. So I'm mentioning this because this is Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and I think it's a time when a person should seriously think into what the value of his chachma is and how fortunate he is to be able to learn Torah and to be able to see chachmas Hashem constantly, I mean, in every area, limudo and learning a lot of Gemara and ideas and derech hachayim and kol haTorah kula. I mean, if a person realizes that what a gift this is, how fortunate he is, then he has to realize that it's a horrible thing to not to recognize that and to simply forfeit the greatest gain that an individual could possibly have in his lifetime and to take the advantage that he gained from learning a derech of Torah and to convert it and place it under the usage and jurisdiction of the Yetzer Hara. I mean, it's a complete loss that you can't imagine. I mean, a greater loss. That's the most horrible thing, that the most unfortunate thing that can happen to a human being. So I think that the during this man also, by the way, I mean, without any doubt, that there's another question that is always there. I mean, a serious problem, and that's the problem of Chil Hashem Shemayim. But I think that the Divrei Musar are usually most effective if the individual sees not simply fate in abstract that doesn't relate to him, he's not on the level to understand perhaps the what Chil Hashem Shemayim is. It has to be on a high level. It's Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, very high ideas. Not everybody's in that parsha. But insofar as a person's life is concerned, that I think is something where people in the yeshiva are certainly at, and they realize that this is something which gives them a whole derech hachayim and keim chayin avarech imenu, and to forfeit it and to lose it because of a momentary concession to the Yetzer Hara is a terrible thing. So I would say that everyone should look into themselves very carefully and should, like the Rambam says, to go to the opposite extreme and try to avoid it even more. And if they see it existing in others, they should be mochiach them. They should be mochiach them. And they should suffer the loss of the social friendship, should put that at risk, you see. It's worth it to put that at risk, because in the yeshiva basically we're here for one reason. We're here really to try to work together to attain perfection insofar as it's possible for us. So that's really, there's a certain achdus here in our goal, and that's our goal as chaverim. I mean, as chaverim. So you would do the person a disservice if you wouldn't bring it to the individual's attention. This is a special situation. Ordinarily, you can't be, you can't just be machiach. You have to be careful, because you have to know how to be machiach. And like the Rambam says, you take a person that's an ohuv, and it's a chacham, and menurav, and he has a reputation, and not everybody can be machiach, obviously. But my opinion is that in the yeshiva situation, we have a different kind of a different, we're very fortunate to have a different kind of situation where we're not in the world at large, and we're here for a purpose, dedicated for one purpose, the purpose of attaining shlemus and shlemus adam, and through limud chachmas haTorah. So therefore, a person should not be sensitive, and on the contrary, if somebody corrects him, he should thank him for it. And realize that it's for his own perfection, and it should be accepted mutually that the same thing is true with regard to the mochiach, that if somebody finds something wrong, they should be happy to accept the tochacha. But I think it's something that we can implement in our society, you see, in the situation that we have here in the yeshiva, which is a unique situation, very fortunate and unique situation. Okay. Tzivach simetav.
He has on the schedule.
because of the second day, which is not going to be enough to make one's house. So I told them, I must have been there for shelter ball. So you have to know what time you should put down for shelter ball. On the schedule, Now the first day is Shabbos, right? So I understand, but in terms of third Suda, so we have to be Kovei of the Suda before Chatzos. No, there's no Shabbos blowing, so it shouldn't be a problem. We should be able to finish at least 20 minutes before Chatzos. I mean, it's a much shorter... I mean, it's